Fayetteville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Every week, speaker, consultant Mark Amtower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. Amtower Off-Center with your host, Mark Amtower.
Welcome to our no-holds-barred forum for discussing what's good, bad, ugly, and just plain silly in the arena of doing business with the government. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Scott Lewis of PS Partnerships, Public Sector Partnerships, which is a great name for your company, by the way, because that's what you do. You help companies understand what that means and why it's valuable, and then you do it for them. So right. Welcome to the show, Scott. It's been
a while.
Thank you, Mark. Right now, we're going to talk about the aspect of the market that puzzles 95% of the people here, and that is, how do you identify and go after the right integrator if that is how you should be going into the market? So, Scott, let's start with state of the market, SI-wise. Who are they? Is there any changes? You know, the top 20 are usually the ones you want to cherry pick for your clients, especially top 10, but take it away.
Yeah. Well, if you look at the way, let's look at government technology, which is sort of the hot discussion in this town, is the technology market. If you look at the $70 billion that is available for vendors and integrators that's contracted out from government, that money is spent by government much more so to solve a business problem or to improve a business process than to buy a product. They do buy product. But if you add up the prime contracting dollars from the top 10 systems integrators, and there are lists out there that rank them, Washington Technology will rank them every year.
Right.
And you can go washingtechnology.com and you'll see that list.
Left-hand side, there's always a top 100 list, either the current one or the last one.
And they rank the top 100, 8A, disadvantaged contractors also. But if you just add up that money, it's almost 50% of the total IT spending goes to a systems integrator. If you take the top 25 or so, it's about 70% of the IT spending. So if I want to sell to government, I have to consider, should I be approaching the systems integrators in hopes that they'll use my technologies or use my services to partner with them or to team with them to go after business? Or does my technologies or services improve performance on an existing contract, let's say? So you have to be thinking, you have to at least take a look at, should I have some of my sales and marketing effort not just walk in the halls of a government agency, but should I also be walking the halls of a systems integrator, a Lockheed Martin, SAIC, CSC, SRA, General Dynamics, Northrop Grumman. Those are the companies that are typically considered a systems integrator.
Right. Okay, so we know sort of who they are. What value do they bring to the market, both to the government and to the vendor community?
Well, the fact that they capture so much money, they're the problem solver. In healthcare, if I'm trying to improve records management, typically, I'm going to be talking to a company that can consult to me on how to best do that. And sometimes it's sort of a two-tiered process. You might have a Booz Allen that comes in and consults to sort of spec out the solution. This is how you might want to do that. And then it can turn into an RFP to where it goes out and people bid on it and win it in some way to go out and actually implement that solution.
So Booz comes in and helps the agency figure out the scope of the problem and what the potential solutions might be.
Right. Yeah, the analogy would be like building a house. You have an architect design it, and then you end up talking to contractors, and they give you bids, and you pick one. It's that type of analogy. But the integrator doesn't make a product. They don't make software. They don't make hardware, again, like a home builder. So they're going to look at partnerships, whether it's a Cisco or a Microsoft or some of the major players, to use their technologies as a piece of the architect, piece of the solution. So their value to government is, if you want to build a house, you hire a contractor. They'll deal with all the subs, they'll deal with the products, and they'll deliver that final product. So government usually is going to go lean on someone who can look and understand and solve the problem, where government doesn't have to worry about the individual specific technologies that are going to help fix the problem. That doesn't mean government isn't going to lean or recommend certain technologies on the higher end of things, mm-hmm. like whether it's an Oracle environment or not, or a Microsoft environment or not. But the integrators are the ones that are going to win the deal, understand, and hopefully fix the problem. So the value to government is they're going to go to someone who's going to solve a problem, not sell them a product. And the value to technology companies is that these integrators don't make the technologies, and they're going to have to identify the technologies that they're going to plug in to help solve that problem. So there's a value both to the buyer or to the agency that's got the problem, but it's a huge opportunity for companies that are trying to sell technologies into the this government space.
Okay, there's two types of companies that I want to deal with today, and they cover sort of the gamut: the product companies, the manufacturers, and the service companies. So let's do products first and talk about a, you know, we discussed a company offline. Small company coming into the market, doesn't seem to have a serious grasp on what to do product-wise. If they call PS Partnerships, what's Scott's best shot for these companies?
Well, they have to be able to map to something. The biggest problem I see is these companies can say yes to about anything. Yes, I can do that. Yes, I can support that. Yes, I can work in that environment. If you're looking at what the market drivers are and what the integrators are trying to, where they see their future in increasing their revenue and increasing wins within government, there's certain buckets that seem to be getting funded: healthcare, energy, cybersecurity, broadband, some other things. So if a company comes to me, I guess what I'm looking for is let's focus. Let's pick one or two key areas that you can really tell a strong story around. You have a track record. You have some type of footprint, whether it's in commercial or whether it's in government. And let's determine what your value proposition is in solving a problem around X. So what is that X? Is it healthcare? Is it document management? Is it security? You know, you got to get very specific as to what that is. And if I get you in front of someone within Lockheed Martin that really cares about security, let's say, mm-hmm. what's your value prop? Why should they spend time with you? What do you bring to the table that they don't have now? Is it relationships? Is it a unique solution? Is it going to allow the integrator to be more profitable? Is it allow the integrator to develop a solution that's going to allow them to win and beat the competition because it's unique? Do you have relationships in an agency that they don't have? You know, what is that hook? If you can identify something like that, the integrator more likely will take some time out of their day to speak with you. And that's what I'm trying to figure out, is what is that specific value that they bring? What's the value proposition associated with it? What integrators play in a similar sandbox? Mm-hmm. And who within that integrator leads that effort in that sandbox? And then what I'm trying to do is take that value prop, approach the right people within the SIs that seem that likely would care, and ask them to meet with my client. So it's sales 101 type.
It is sales 101, but you also have to make sure, you know, and you do this in your market research, I know, you have to make sure that integrator does not have a partner already, a small business partner, that does something similar or very close to what that company brings to the table.
Yeah, but a lot of integrators already have partners in most areas, but sometimes they're not the best partner. Sometimes the partner is not supporting the way they should. If from a technology perspective, there may be a better mousetrap out there that allows the integrator to perform differently in a better way or in a unique way.
Okay. So is part of your service to these companies educating them on how to talk to the integrator once they get inside?
Yeah, very much so. Most of what I do is trying to teach my clients how to fish. So after a period of time, they've developed relationships with the integrators. They now have some things in their pipeline they didn't have before. They worked it through to actually bidding on something with an SI. And after 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, they now know how to behave to this community, and they have relationships. And they may actually go out and hire someone that's doing what I'm doing for them today, to eventually make this part of their day-to-day business sales process. They seem to know how to hire a salesperson and assign them an agency and push them out to walk the halls of a government agency. And they're probably, even with small companies, they probably have a couple salespeople doing that today. What they usually don't have is someone like that that's approaching the SIs full-time every single day. But if I can build that process into the way they do business, they should be able to start taking that on their own, and I go away.
Good stuff, man. My guest today is Scott Lewis of PS Partnerships. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little more about how small business, we're going to talk a lot more about how small businesses approach integrators. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Today's emergency preparedness series is brought to you by the D.C. Homeland Security and Emergency Management Agency.
Over the next several weeks, millions of Americans will move through the nation's airports, train stations, and seaports heading out for the holidays. No one wants to be sick during this time with family and friends, so it's important to remember that staying healthy is a shared responsibility. The CDC has a few tips for travelers. Travel only when you feel well. Wash your hands often. Cover your coughs and sneezes. And get a flu vaccination. I'm Mark Seagraves.
The flu is already here, so it's time to get your seasonal flu shot. Doctors' offices, clinics, and pharmacies have seasonal flu vaccine available right now. The seasonal flu shot is the best way to keep yourself from getting sick from the seasonal flu and passing it on to others. In addition to getting vaccinated, you can prevent the spread of contagious diseases like seasonal flu and H1N1 by covering your cough, washing your hands, and staying home if you're sick. For more information on the flu, call 311 or visit the D.C. Department of Health at doh.dc.gov.
See you later!
Off-season greetings to all of Natstown. Give the gift that gives back all season long and buy a season ticket package for your favorite baseball fan. Tis the season for giving, so we'll add up to $7 to each ticket for every game in your plan. That's $7 free to use to buy food, drinks, and Nats gear at Nats Park. It's the best value in town and a limited time offer. Call 202-675-NATS or visit nationals.com/2010.
Listen to Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, throughout the day for the latest news about the federal government and government contractors. Join the Federal Drive with Tom Tamman and Jane Norris, mornings from 6 to 10. In Depth with Francis Rose from 1 to 3. And The Daily Debrief with Chris Dorabeck and Amy Morris, afternoons from 3 to 7. Find all the news you need 24-7 at federalnewsradio.com. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.
You might fly to future Thanksgivings a bit faster thanks to shark-inspired engineering. You heard correctly, sharks may lead the way to faster flights. A shark's skin is made up of thousands of tiny tooth-like scales that manipulate the flow of water around its body. Without such a mechanism, the shark would be slowed during sudden turns because
the flow is not going to want to follow. It's going to separate from the body, and that results in higher drag. And once you have higher drag, it makes it harder to move and harder to maneuver.
Amy Lang, a University of Alabama engineer, says where water's about to separate, shark scales lift to
cause more local tiny bits of separation on the surface, but the main flow then still remains attached.
Lang says air and water act similarly, so engineering airplane skin like shark skin might increase the fuel efficiency and speed of your future flights. To find out more, go to www.nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, is the home of the Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Jane Norris. Weekday mornings from 6 to 10, Tom and Jane navigate the world of the RFIs, RFPs, circulars, executive orders, and regulations for you, the federal manager and contractor, and deliver news, perspective, and analysis in plain language to make your agency and company more efficient. Tom and Jane speak to newsmakers and analysts live to get to the details on the latest mission-critical news and information. The Federal Drive is federal news from the inside up. The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Jane Norris. Weekday mornings from 6 to 10 only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Your source for federal news now.
Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Scott Lewis of PS Partnerships. You can find Scott at pspartnerships.com. And Scott, if anybody out there doesn't know Scott, shame on you, number one. Scott's been doing this in a variety of capacities for a number of years. As publisher of WashTech, yes?
Yep.
And president or EVP at Input for a couple of tours.
Yep.
And out on your own now for several years and doing quite well.
Thank you.
And when you come into this market, you really need somebody who knows the landscape, not only the landscape, but the players. And getting inside of those players is not an easy thing. So for a lot of the companies coming into the markets, it's very easy when they need an integrator partner. I can make one call or tell them to make one call, and it's usually to Scott. So let's talk about the real small businesses, the 8A, the minority community here. So how do they win?
I think that's more of a challenge in a way than the product company. At least a product company, you can talk about your technology and how unique it is and what it does. The problem on the small integrator, the disadvantaged, hub zone, disabled veteran, they're basically a small version of a Lockheed Martin, typically. They're just a 100-person company that behaves like a Lockheed Martin. They integrate things. They have smart people that know how to put technologies together or to maintain or to do some software adjustment. Within an SI, they're doing that also. So in essence, you're bringing the same talent that they already have. It's difficult to get their attention to want to get them to have you on a particular team or a contract. But again, it gets down to relationships. It gets down to being able to focus. Again, some of the key markets are like healthcare, for example, and security. So if I'm an 8A, do I bring some unique skills around security or healthcare or whatever that might be, as opposed to, I can do everything.
Same thing. Unique relationship.
You got it. In approaching the SIs, when you're a small business, you're pointed to the small business office. Usually there's a liaison there. Their job is to meet with any small company, disadvantaged firm, hear what they have to say, take the brochures, and maybe dump some data into their portal. Typically, that's about as far as you get. You have to do it. You got to do it. You got to go talk to them. They're on everybody's website. You'll see who they are, and you got to go do it. But you got to get way past that. And if you're going to focus and support around DOD or DHS or whatever, you need to do some research to figure out who controls business development within DHS for, let's just say, General Dynamics, for example, or Army, or whatever agency or solution set you think you can map well to. And identifying those people, then you have to be able to approach them through email or a phone call or something to say, I have value for what you're trying to do. Here's my value. I want to talk to you.
Then you have to get them to call back. So
you do, which is a challenge.
Goes back to your hook in segment one.
You got it. And part of what I'm trying to determine is, again, what is that small business's value, and can I connect them into an integrator that would have an interest in what they bring to the table? And usually the integrators know who I am. They know that I'm not trying to waste their time, because the last thing I want to do is set up meetings that just waste everybody's time. It kills my credibility. They won't take my call next time because I wasted their time. I'm wasting my clients' time. I'm wasting the integrator's time and my own personal time.
Well, worse, you're wasting your credibility.
Yeah, and so you need to do some due diligence to really understand the value of a firm, even if it's a small business, and taking that specific value and mapping it to an integrator that's likely to care, that plays, and develop solutions that map to that client, to that company. Figuring out who it is. Who is that person that is developing solutions around DHS? And being able to approach them and explain the value and ask for some time. There's also opportunities out there, too. A lot of companies understand an RFP is coming out, and they know they're not going to be able to prime. So then the work has to be who's bidding on this thing. So doing your due diligence to figure out who is likely to bid, who are the top integrators in the agency today doing similar work. It's public available data. Input has it. FedSources has it. Trying to identify who are likely to bid on something and then being able to present a value proposition that relates to the opportunity. If I'm on your team, here's the value that I bring. But if you can't talk that way, just getting a meeting to explain who your company is and what you do with a 15-page PowerPoint generally is not going to do much for you.
Okay. Now, what about when the contracts are set aside for small business, disadvantaged business, veteran-owned, disabled veteran, et cetera? How do the 8As and others leverage that and select the right SI that way?
A lot of times, in fact, it's happening with the Eagle contract out of DHS. These will be set-aside contracts, and you'll be an 8A and you'll win it. But after a period of time, all these small businesses that won it aren't small business anymore. 8 years have gone by, so they need to recompete it back to small business. Within major agencies, you pretty much know who the key players are, from who the large integrators are that support DHS. For example, CSC is one ITIP that's being under protest right now. Unisys was in there a very long time. It's pretty public available data as to who are the strong integrators within a particular agency. So if there's an opportunity coming out of an agency that's set aside, usually you're going to know who the top two or three SIs are that are doing work in there today. So it's a set aside. Lockheed Martin is a top integrator within a particular agency. You want to bid it. Odds are Lockheed Martin will want to talk to you if it's a major program that's set aside. VA is a good example where an awful lot of procurements are set aside, and every integrator is trying to develop solutions around healthcare right now. I mean, that's just pretty hot. So in dealing with VA and looking at their set-aside programs, which are a lot of, I would think in areas like that, you can probably get an audience pretty quick with integrators that will talk to you about how you're going to bid on this program.
Okay. Now, how much of that is also predicated on how well embedded that particular small business is in that agency? Because they're all multiple
important.
Award.
Yeah, it's important. Yeah, everything seems to be multiple award now. If you have zero experience in the agency and you have no relationships and contacts, the odds are pretty good you're probably not going to be selected. Every agency has a top 10 or 20 8As or small businesses that have contracts in there today. Or they're a subcontractor to the prime doing business in there today, and they have their people in the agency doing work as a subcontractor. So the experience doesn't really have to be as prime. It can be as a subcontractor too. But if you have zero experience, I wouldn't worry about it. I mean, I would be bidding on as a prime. There's no way.
Okay. Good stuff again. My guest today is Scott Lewis of PS Partnerships. When we come back, we're going to be talking about venues for visibility for the companies coming into the market, for those seeking those SI relationships. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Airink.
Defense Secretary Robert Gates says the U.S. is going to do its part to reduce corruption in Afghanistan by examining its own contracts and projects. He told reporters in Nova Scotia, "The place for us to start is to deal with corruption that may be associated with the contracts we're letting or the work we're having done and development projects we're undertaking in partnership with others, including the Afghans." He made the comments at the Halifax International Security Forum. I'm J.J. Green.
On December 2nd, 1929, Airink was established to manage the radio frequencies of a brand new industry, commercial aviation. Today, 80 years later, they've expanded their engineering expertise to serve every branch of the U.S. military, help millions of passengers move through airports around the world, and secure some of our country's most important assets. Airink has recognized the meaning of mission critical since day one. To learn more and for career opportunities, log on to ARINC.com.
Are you in sales or do you own your own business? If so, I want you to think of a number. Think of the amount of money you'd like to make this year. Do you have it? Okay, so what's stopping you? It's not your drive. It's not your skills. Chances are it's your ability to find new leads. It's not easy. But what if someone had already done the work for you? What if with one phone call you could actually get your hands on as many new sales leads as you could handle and actually make that number you have in your head? It's not too good to be true. It's Sales Genie, the leading provider of targeted sales leads for sales professionals. No matter what you're selling or who you're selling to, Sales Genie has the sales leads you need. And right now, they'll give you 100 sales leads free. Call Sales Genie at 1-800-500-1967 and find out how to get 100 sales leads for free. Call 1-800-500-1967. Again, that's 1-800-500-1967.
Here's Robert Carey, CIO, Navy, on the Federal Executive Forum on the Government Cloud, sponsored by EMC.
Sailors and Marines don't care about cloud. They care about that experience they're having with the network and the ability to access data when it's needed, where it's needed. They don't want to hear about any hiccups in the middle. They don't care about security layers. They care about, I search, I find, I analyze, I act, I go do my thing. And so cloud actually enables that.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com. Government agencies expect vast amounts of information to be available no matter where they are, no matter what device they use. Traditional storage systems were not designed with cloud computing in mind, and when they're used as a foundation, become complex, hard to scale, and expensive. EMC Atmos was designed to address the government's needs for cloud-based information providers. EMC Atmos makes extensive use of metadata and policy to streamline the delivery of petabytes of information. For additional information on EMC Atmos, go to emc.com.
Looking for usable news and information that helps you do your job? Tune in to In Depth with Francis Rose every weekday afternoon from 1 to 3 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Francis explores the relationship between agencies and Congress by taking you to the hearing rooms on Capitol Hill and asking questions of federal decision makers and experts. You'll get a firsthand look at how Congress affects your agency's personnel, funding, and oversight. In Depth also looks at the relationship between agencies and contractors, companies that do billions of dollars of business with the federal government, talk about the work they're doing for agencies, the work they're bidding on, and the work they didn't get. And In Depth will help you be a better manager. Francis talks to authors, scholars, and managerial experts about managing projects, managing your workforce, and managing yourself. In Depth with Francis Rose, every weekday afternoon from 1 to 3 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Scott Lewis of PS Partnerships. You can find Scott at PS Partnerships, Partnership.
S at the end, ships.
Partnerships.com. Yes, you don't want to do just one partnership. You want to do many. Well, yeah, and you gotta. I mean, it is not a single relationship town. And for this segment, I want to talk about venues for visibility. And when I'm talking to pretty much anybody in the market, I want to find out a couple of different things. You know, particularly when I'm talking to integrators or government people, ask, what do you read? What do you attend? What do you belong to? And what websites do you visit? These are all venues for visibility. And depending on the rhyme scheme, what's the value from your perspective for those companies coming into the market?
If part of your strategy is to communicate and connect and build relationships with the systems integrators, there's not a lot of marketing vehicles, traditional marketing vehicles out there. There's trade publications like Federal Computer Week, Government Computer News, Government Executive, Federal Times, Army Times. Almost all of the circulation on those and the way that they build their content and their websites are to communicate with the government official or government buyer, let's say. If you're trying to communicate to the systems integrator, there's one publication called Washington Technology, and that's it. And frankly, it's owned by 1105 Media. They own a lot of publications, and I don't know if 1105 really gives a lot of focus to Washington Technology to grow that vehicle. Unfortunately,
not enough.
I was publisher of that, so it's still kind of my baby. I watch it all the time. So
Nick is great, by the way.
I like him a lot.
And Dave Hubler is great. And we're not knocking Nick and Dave. We're saying, Neil, pay attention to Wash Tech. It's the moose.
Yeah. But it's a industry in itself dealing with the SI. So if you are going to put an effort into that, then the question always comes up from a marketing perspective, communication perspective, what do I do? How do I get my message out there so that they hear it and get some name recognition within the SI? So you can look at their properties, their website. They do daily web pushes under different subject matter. They have different key topics that they have their own little e-letters written around, whether it's security, whatever it might be. So looking at what they do, their publication, and the website, I would consider some of that. There are a number of trade associations out there that I find very valuable to connect with integrators and develop, at least start the conversation around potential partnerships. ELC is an association that has two major events every year. One's called MOC, one's called ELC.
No, IAC.
I'm sorry. IAC is the association. The events are ELC and MOC. Too many acronyms.
There you go. Well, Executive Leadership Conference and Management of Change. And that's MOC is what, 30 years old now, something like that?
It's been around. Every six months they have this. One's in October and the other one I think is in June or something.
Okay.
But you're going to see it's designed to have government and industry come together. It's probably 70-30, 70% industry, 30% government showing up. Of the 70% industry, at least half of that are systems integrators, both large, medium, and small.
Now, keep in mind that both of these events sell out. So if you do not register early, there's no way. I mean, you can stand in the parking lot.
You have to be a member, too.
You got to be a member.
You can't just... There are people that aren't
members.
There are
clubs.
That aren't members that get a hotel room down the street and show up at cocktail time and network in the bar. So if you have zero budget, you can always consider that.
Yeah, you stand out like a thumb.
But, and it's probably not going to be the person within the integrator that you're going to want to talk to. But you have a lot of time to talk to these people, communicate what you do, what you're trying to do, and most likely they're going to give you the names and the email addresses of who you should be talking to within that SI. It happens all the time, and I don't know everybody in every SI, and I find
Nobody can. Of
value in that.
You know, I told this story when I was talking to Tom Carroll, Carroll Publishing. Mm-hmm. I think there was one time when one person knew just about everybody you need to know, and that was late 80s, early 90s, and it was Tom Hewitt. And if you needed to know somebody, Hewitt did know just about, seemingly, everybody there was to know. And he was happy to introduce you to them.
That's right.
But I don't know how he did it then. It is not a replicatable thing anymore.
Right. I've been working with the integrators in some way, shape, or form for probably close to 20 years. And with every client, I go to who I know, I explain who my client is, what their value is, and they tell me who I should be talking to. 50% of the time, I've never met this person. And I'm using my contact to do an introduction to the right people within the SI. Yeah, so leveraging any connection that you can get within a potential partner, you just got to ask the questions. You got to explain who you are, and you got to ask them, who should I be talking to? And they'll tell you. And more times than not. But those kinds of events the ELC and the MOC events that IAC does, AFSEA, the Armed Forces Electronic Association, Communication Association, they have a ton of different events also.
And a lot of different chapters that you can join.
You're right, and very inexpensive to join those too, by the way. A lot of chapters, and there's a lot of DOD. They do reach out into the civilian side of things, but if you're focusing around DOD, I think that's a tremendous organization for you to connect to. And again, a lot of systems integrators play in that market, an awful lot. Input has breakfast meetings about once a month where CIOs speak. I go to network. I'm not there to hear the CIO. I'm there to again meet other systems integrators, which go to those things too.
Okay. Where do those occur?
Usually at the Ritz in Tyson's Corners, okay. And they're almost monthly. You can go to input.com. You don't have to be a member of Input to attend.
It's cheap, cheaper if you're an Input client, but not appreciably.
Right.
I can't say that. I'm not an Input client. I don't know what they play.
My clients are Input clients. That's how I get
connected. There you go.
I find them tremendously valuable. And Mark, you can obviously talk about this more than I can, but within the social networking, the LinkedIn integrators are all over that thing.
They are. And my goal by the end of the year, this is we tape on the 19th, so I have about 5.5, almost 6 weeks left. My goal before the end of this year is to be connected on multiple levels with each of the top 100 from WashTech. And I'm about 60% there. I know they're all there, but I don't know them all, so I'm going to go through your site, your connection, because we're connected on LinkedIn. I'm going to reach out through you to the chinks in my armor. After that, I'm going after those top 8As. I already have most of the top GSA vendors as connections. I have 2,000-plus connections.
Wild. And there is a lot of value to that. And I've heard some very successful stories of reaching out to someone that you're connected to in LinkedIn to ask, who should I be talking to within an SI about X?
Right.
And they'll tell you.
Yeah.
All you got to do is ask. They'll tell you.
All you need is an entry point in that SI, and they can say, you got to migrate over here. And in all likelihood, they're connected to that person because the first people you connect to on LinkedIn are those people that you work with.
Right. It's, I'm an old sales guy. My first job selling was selling dictating equipment for Lanier. I had a territory. I knocked on doors. It was 100% commission. And you got to kind of think that way in this market. If you don't have the personality to reach out and ask questions and explain your value and ask for the next step, you're just not going to get anywhere, whether it's with the integrators and teaming or whether it's selling to the federal government directly.
And if you don't have that skill, hire Scott.
Well, you should be hiring somebody that does it, or getting rid of people if they want them to do it and they're not doing it.
Yeah, if you're a bunch of techies, you really need a BD / sales / marketing person, and that person is not always the same person.
Right. So, and there are other consultant types out there that do BD consulting, and they actually will have relationships with government agencies and get you in the door for some of that. And there's a lot of that type out there, too.
And Input in Washington Management Group / Federal Sources do the same sort of thing. You got to pick the one that's going to pay the most dividends for you, and that's not easy either.
No, and you got to pay money too. I mean, nothing's free. So if you really want to do well in this government space, you're going to have to talk to some people who understand it and put together a game plan and invest in it.
Yeah. What about some other events? I mean, you and I are going to be at one event on December 3rd that occurs once a year, and it's really I've had calls from this event saying, why aren't you here? I skipped it once intentionally and once because I just forgot.
You're talking about the Input holiday party on December 3rd?
Exactly.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. What else would I be talking about?
It's a pretty big plug for this. They're probably going to start getting emails now. I want to come. But they invite their clients and folks like us that have been in the market for a long time, and there's 1,000 people or so, it seems like, and it's at the Ritz this year.
First time.
It's a tremendous networking time. You'll see. I like going just to catch up with people I haven't seen in a while, see where everybody is, what they're doing, what's on everybody's mind, some of the stories, the new stories and things that have been going on in our market space over the past 12 months where you haven't seen some of these people. But it's a tremendous networking time, I find.
It is the premier networking event. Hewitt, again, Tom started it 20 years ago.
Yep.
And I remember the first one I went to, it's like going to my first Outlook conference. You look around the room and you're going, everybody I read about is here,
Well, I worked at Input, and I couldn't go because I was a competitor of Fed Sources. So
right.
As soon as I left Input, the first thing I was waiting for was that invitation.
Called and brought you.
And I got to go. And then Input took it over after a number of years, which I think is a good marketing now.
Well, Hewitt, oddly enough, sits on the board of Input now.
That's funny how it comes around.
Yeah, it is a grossly inbred market. In only in some respects. But
from a low budget, again, if you're a small company, not much money, there are a lot of events out there. It's almost every day there's something going on. But go to the websites of Input and Fed Sources and Washington Technology, and they all have a link to pretty much every major event going on. You can overdo it. You can keep going out to events and not getting anything done. But I think you need to make it part of sort of your business process if you're trying to network and to develop relationships and teaming partners.
Find out where the people you need to meet go. It's a matter of asking the questions that you mentioned earlier. My guest is Scott Lewis of PS Partnerships. When we come back, we're going to be pursuing this line of thought somehow. And I'm not quite sure just yet where we're going, but I'm Mark Amtower, and you're listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
The latest from the Federal Security Spotlight brought to you by Cisco.
Stopping the cyber theft of government and private money will take an interagency effort. Here's Rodney Jaffe, chief technologist at Neustar.
We have to recognize that put together a task force that cuts across the normal lines between the investigators and the prosecutors, and begin to collate the information across the country, identify who's behind it, and work together to actually shut them down.
To hear the entire show, log on to federalnewsradio.com. Will the top-of-mind security issues of today be the issues facing government tomorrow? Get the latest from federal experts on FISMA reform, the cyber initiative, how government is combating botnets, spyware, and other cyber evils, and more. Listen to Federal Security Spotlight, sponsored by Cisco, airing Thursday from 10 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. or on demand at federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Security Spotlight is brought to you by Cisco, the leader in federal IT security.
Listen to the Daily Debrief weekday afternoons from 3 to 7 on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Christopher Dorabeck and Amy Morris deliver up-to-date federal news and information and put it in context to help your agency or company meet the needs of this administration. The Daily Debrief talks to leaders and game changers so you hear the news delivered from the newsmakers themselves. Tune in weekdays from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. Go to federalnewsradio.com. The Daily Debrief.
Sponsored by Lockheed Martin. We never forget who we're working for.
Diary entry, August 15th. My joints ache. Today I can hardly move. I need some answers.
September 3rd. I'm tired all the time. What's going on?
June 8th. I woke up with a rash on my face. I want to know why.
For answers, ask your doctor the right question. Could I have lupus? For answers, for support, for hope, visit couldihavelupus.gov or call 1-800-994-9662. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health and the Ad Council.
Whether you're pregnant, thinking about it, or already have a baby, you're bound to have questions. And the November Community Spotlight, the March of Dimes, has the answers. What's the latest on caffeine during pregnancy? Taking folic acid, when and how much? What are newborn screening tests anyway? Find out at marchofdimesbaby.com. The March of Dimes is mom's one-stop resource for everything related to pregnancy and babies. marchofdimesbaby.com for stronger, healthier babies.
We know your day is getting busier, and it's hard to keep track of the news that affects your agency. Let us help. Listen every weekday afternoon from 3 to 7 for the Daily Debrief with Chris Dorabeck and Amy Morris. Chris and Amy bring the news to you, from the impact of the presidential transition to the latest directive from OMB. The Daily Debrief with Chris Dorabeck and Amy Morris, weekday afternoons from 3 to 7 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED. Source for Federal News. Now,
you can find Scott at PSPartnerships.com. Scott, all right, we finally get to meet some people at a systems integrator. How do we talk to them?
Well, I always find that to be an issue when you talk to an integrator, where they'll tell you that in meeting with companies, typically the conversation ends where the product company or the small business across the table from the integrator will ask the question, what can you do for me? Now that you know what I do, what can you do for me? And that usually shoots that whole conversation down. It just leaves everybody with a bad taste in their mouth within the SI. And that's a very common thing that I hear from the integrators. So assuming you have a meeting, you better prepare pretty strongly about what your value proposition is, so that you're explaining what you do in a way that says, if you allow me to work with you, this is what I bring to the table. Here's what I can do to improve your business. Here's what I can do to improve your solution in this particular area, as opposed to just speeds and feeds and then asking the question of what the integrator can do for you. So you got to do your homework, and you got to be able to focus and communicate to who you're speaking with across the table. If it's a director of business development for DHS, you got to talk DHS. If it's healthcare, you got to talk healthcare. But within an integrator, there's actually a lot of different stakeholders that you need to be looking for. You have a VP of a business unit that's trying to increase revenue and develop unique solution sets to increase revenue. There's a VP that maybe runs DOD versus civilian or DHS. There's a VP that might run all the business around Intel. You have the business development people underneath that take ownership of an agency. Then you have the system architects, the CTOs, engineers, system engineers that really care about the technology, the speeds and feeds. You have capture managers that have to develop the teammates and put it all together and respond to an RFP. You have program managers that have ownership of an existing contract. But all of them are valuable. There's not one that's more valuable than another. It kind of depends on how you're getting in the door.
Well, let me throw something at you. Let's say we go to the executive leadership conference. We have 2 minutes to capture the attention of, or we have 2 minutes with a VP of a business unit in a major SI. We know, or I hope we know, that he's not really the person that we should be speaking with. But how do we control that conversation to find out who do we talk to?
Obviously, it depends on what your value is you bring to the table. But from a product perspective, I would probably be talking about my existing footprint, what I'm doing today in government, and some of the value that we're bringing to that contract. Maybe name drop existing relationships if you happen to be partnering today with CSC or a few others, and explain what you're bringing to the table for them. Mm-hmm. And then asking
how important it is it not to sling untoward stuff in that particular conversation?
No, it's all positive stuff. It's not negative.
No, I mean, oversell yourself. Oh, yeah, I'm doing this with CSC if you're not.
I think it gives you credibility. If you can explain that I'm working with a few integrators today, just a few. Mm-hmm. I'm working with CSC today now within DHS on a couple projects. And what we're bringing to the table for them is X. Have not spoke to your firm before. I hear you're doing some really interesting things within DOD. Would you recommend that I speak with that where I could bring similar value to you as I'm doing with CSC in that agency today?
So respect their time, keep it short, and focus on who do I speak with next, right. Not how long can I bore you.
Right. In some cases, you only have 2 minutes. In other cases, you're sitting next to them for 2 hours at a round dinner table, and you get into a more in-depth conversation. That, I think, in a more relaxed way, you're able to kind of get out in more detail what you do and what your value is and what you're trying to do as a company, what you believe you bring to the table in certain environments and solution sets. And then, again, asking the question of getting the card and can I follow up with you later and who should I be talking to in this area and that area. But it's in those scenarios, it's pretty conversational. I think the bragging and the overselling, you got to be careful. But if you can make it very conversational, be honest about what your value is.
Well, the bragging and overselling these days is something that's pretty easy to check on.
Well, that's half of my battle with a new client. They want to tell me how wonderful they are. It takes two meetings to get them to shake that off and to talk about where they're really having problems.
And let me ask a different question. What percentage of the companies that call you do you adopt? Because I know your criteria is pretty rigid.
Well, if you're heavy commodity, there's not much I could probably do for you. I mean, I might be able to support you for a few months, introduce you to some people that you can continue the relationship with, and have some connection if you want to go big in the SI. If you don't have a pipeline, if they're not opportunities that you really want to get on, and you're a commodity, it's going to be a real challenge for me to help you. And the last thing I want to do is take somebody on that I'm just not going to get anywhere. It just gives me a bad reputation. I've wasted their time. I like, and I'm pretty much a one-man band, so I don't need 100 clients. I like something that's very unique and a game changer, and something that maps to big growth areas in the market space. Virtualization is hot, and every agency now is looking at virtualizing the desktop, which gets into cloud computing discussions, even though I don't think there's a market for cloud computing today. There's cloud-like type developments going on, so anything around that discussion is interesting. Anything around security, anything that expands an additional solution that fits into what you do today. For example, I'm working with a company that does queuing for all the DMVs that you go to, and you take your ticket out and knowing what you need to do within DMV, the system knows that and routes you the right way. Well, within all the state departments and the embassies and all the social services and all the healthcare, it's sort of a unique avenue for an integrator maybe to make some headway into some new markets. So things like that I just find tremendously interesting, and they're unique enough to where an integrator will stop what they're doing and want to talk to you.
Final thoughts.
Well, like I mentioned when we opened up, I think you have to consider approaching the SIs. They win most of the technology spending, hands down, they do. So you need to consider doing that. Ramping up and hiring two or three people just to do that is – you got to be careful, because you're not going to see revenue for a long time. This is not a 30, 60, 90-day revenue quota scenario when you're going to deal with the SIs. You're dealing with large opportunities. You're dealing with having to develop relationships that might pay off a year from now.
Or longer.
Or much longer. Right. But I think it's an area of the market you have to really consider, because if you can do it well, you can increase your revenue tremendously if you can do it right and spend some quality time doing it and build it into your business processes. But to me, you just can't only walk into government agencies and try to sell and that's it. And you can't only go into SIs and try to sell and that's it. there needs to be a balancing act where you are working with the agencies and leveraging that knowledge and leveraging the experience with the government agencies and taking that knowledge and existing wins from that and leveraging that back into the SIs and making that work together.
There you go. And Scott, you are a perfect example of this is a relationship-driven market. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Mark.
You've been listening to AmTower Off-Center on 1500 AM. My guest has been Scott Lewis of PS Partnerships. You can find Scott at pspartnerships.com. This is not my day job. If you are one of the few who wish to excel in this market and you want to start some of those relationships, join me and my extraordinary speakers December 7th at Social Networking for B2G. Our speakers include Debbie Weil, Dr. Mark Trapeau, our own Christopher Dorbeck from FED, Jim Duddy of LinkedIn, Kim Nelson, one of the web divas, truly a Web 2.0 diva at Microsoft, Joe Zuccaro, business consultant, and me, Mark Amtower, our sponsor at
News Radio 5M, WFED, your source for federal news now.
When you need legal, when you want to sell to the federal government, you need a GSA schedule. When you need a GSA schedule, you call Easy GSA. Make 2010 GSA guy every Tuesday, say Tuesdays 11:30 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m.
We're aging. Turns out in the next 20 years, the worldwide shortage for labor force will be 45 million, which coincidentally is exactly the demographic bonus is going to occur in the north of India. So guess what? India is going to be providing
9-9-2.
Running an international human sex trafficking operation did when talking with families and young girls in Guatemala about the girls working good jobs in the United States.
They indicated that their daughters in L.A. had jewelry stores and restaurants where the girls could work, and they would make a very good living, and they'd be able to send that money home.
Tricia Whitehill, an FBI special agent in Los Angeles, investing.
They were told they had that.
Of the FBI on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Attention. President Obama recently signed a Bill of Rights to protect the American public from the unfair tactics employed by credit card companies. In a separate initiative, Consumer Debt Advocate has established a special hotline to help consumers with questions, complaints, and difficulties with $10,000 or more in credit card debt. We're Consumer Debt Advocate, and we're ready to accept your calls. Call the toll-free hotline now for free information about programs that can reduce your credit card debt. Call 1-800-700-0588. Many Americans have been trapped by the downturn in the economy and by the misleading policies employed by credit card companies. Free information about programs that can reduce your credit card debt is now available. We're Consumer Debt Advocate, and we're ready to accept your calls. Listeners with questions, complaints, and difficulties with their credit card bills should call immediately. For free information, call the toll-free number now at 1-800-700-0588. 1-800-700-0588. That's 1-800-700-0588.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, worldwide on federalnewsradio.com. News and information for and about the federal decision maker. Weekday mornings 6 to 10, listen to The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Jane Norris. They'll give you the story behind the headlines and talk to the federal newsmakers themselves. Then it's In-Depth with Francis Rose from 1 to 3, focusing on career development for the federal executive. 3 to 7, join Chris Dorobek and Amy Morris for the Daily Debrief. Live interactive news and analysis on the things that affect your federal career. Federal News Radio 1500 AM also broadcasts all the action of Nats baseball, Caps hockey, GW and American University basketball, Navy athletics, and DC United soccer. Visit federalnewsradio.com for the latest game information and listen on the radio or on your computer to all the game day action. Federal News Radio 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.
CNN Radio, I'm Harry Beadle. More Americans have been killed in Afghanistan. CNN's Frederick Pleitgen is there.
Four U.S. service members were killed within 24 hours in eastern and southern Afghanistan. Three of them were killed, attacked through roadside bombs, and one was killed in a firefight. U.S. forces, of course, in southern Afghanistan say they are dealing with more and more strikes from improvised explosive devices, and it is something that they're trying to come to terms with.
Afghanistan will top the agenda when President Obama meets with his national security team again tonight to consider whether
to send more U.S. troops. There's good news on housing. Sales of existing homes have hit a 2.5-year high. CNN's John Lawrence is live with details. John?
Harry, existing home sales increased last month. Lawrence Yoon with the National Association of Realtors says the bump was over 10%.
Buyers are coming back to the market. As a result, the inventories are steadily being trimmed away.